Credit and the banks have also been a story in Iceland. Now, different kind of credit and maybe different kind of banks. But the last time Iceland was in the headlines, Catherine, its economy was going into free fall. Late last year, the tiny country's huge banking system collapsed after years of prosperity. And in the aftermath, the government fell and an interim government took over. Now, with the economy still flailing, Iceland is about to hold its very first election since the credit crisis began. So can the U.S. learn something from a country that's looking for a political solution to an absolute economic disaster? Joining us now to talk about it is Bjorn Malmquist, a reporter for the Icelandic National Broadcasting Service. He's in Reykjavik. Bjorn?
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How bad economically are things in Iceland right now?
Depends on who you talk to. The government wants to tell us that things aren't just as bad as have been reported in recent months. The companies are screaming for lower interest rates. Companies who are making business in other countries want us to join the EU, otherwise they will move away. Unemployment is rising, and our loans, our mortgages and our loans are going up every day. So, as I say, it's a matter of perspective, but things are pretty bad here.
And let me ask just quickly, what about people's deposits? Does Iceland have, in this country, we have an FDIC that insures people's bank deposits? I have to assume you have the same thing in Iceland. Has anyone lost money on their cash?
Well, we didn't lose money on our bank deposits, but a lot of people lost money on their money market accounts, and a lot of people lost money on their stocks, because a lot of money had stocks in the banks, in the three banks that toppled last winter, and those stocks are now worthless.
Okay.
And so a lot of people lost a lot of money.
All right, well, it's a true crisis in Iceland, a true crisis. What has it done to the election? How is the election shaping up? It's going on tomorrow. How has the failure of the huge banking industry in the small country affected the political debate?
Well, the short version is the country is leaning way to the left in the elections. All the polls indicate that.
We in this country think Iceland is already way to the left. So even further?
Well, it's the old story of the European socialists, right?
Right.
We did have a slightly right-of-center government before the fall, the social democrat by American standards, but by our standards, pro-business government that had been basically in power here for the last 18 years. What's going to happen now is it's very likely that the current alliance between the Social Democrats and the Left Green Party, which formed an interim government in February, that's probably going to continue after the election. So they will hold power for the next 4 years, most likely. So that's why I'm saying it's leaning to the left.
Bjorn, some outside observers, I'm thinking of an article that was in Der Spiegel yesterday, are saying that is not necessarily leaning to the left as much as it is leaning to the female side of the nation. That in both the banking industries and in politics, there are women who are saying, look, it's time for us to clean up after the old guard, who were the men who wore the same suits and went to the same schools.
That is true. The current prime minister is a woman. She's very likely to continue in that seat. Johanna Sigurdardóttir, yeah. She is now the head of the Social Democratic Alliance. And she's one of the oldest parliamentarians in the country and very trusted and very popular.
And talk about what this election is going to do in terms of the way Iceland looks at it, participation in the European Union. I mean, there are people in the EU who are going to say, well, being in the EU didn't help us that much either.
Well, I mean, these elections tomorrow are basically about economic policy for the next years. And you know, a major part of this discussion is whether we should join the EU. Mm-hmm. This has been talked about for years in Iceland. You know, the usual arguments against it is that by that we would lose control over our fishing grounds,
right.
And we would possibly lose control over our energy resources, which are abundant here. But since last September, it's become more and more clear for more and more people in this country that we cannot go this alone. We need to join the EU just in order to stabilize the economy. We cannot continue with the smallest floating currency in the world, the Icelandic krona, which has been basically in free fall since September. And so this is the major, this is really the major issue in these elections.
Right.
And
Bjorn, can I ask a very basic question? What's voter turnout in Iceland? What percentage of people are going to vote?
It's between 90 and 100%.
I'm sorry. Did you say between 90 and 100%?
I'm sorry?
Did you say between 90 and 100%?
Yeah.
Ask me what ours is. Okay, don't ask me.
I know what yours is.
Yes.
You don't have to tell me that.
All right. Bjorn
Malmquist. I lived in the States for 4 years.
Ours is about 50 people. Bjorn Malmquist, a reporter with the Icelandic National Broadcasting Service, speaking with us from Reykjavik about Iceland's upcoming parliamentary elections on Saturday. The country is facing the worst economic crisis probably in its history.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.